The older I get, I certainly am more patient and open to different kinds of personalities and their life's legacies. And also these things we call ideologies. Hans Eisler was a phenomenally idealistic human being. And communism in his mind was not this banner title of horror that it is now in normal terms in newspapers. When someone says the word communist, most of us in the Western world are supposed to shudder in absolute abject horror and so forth. When actually the communist ideology is extraordinarily similar to the Christian ideology. The God element is somewhat missing, and of course hell is missing as well, so that's terribly troubling. My point is that it's interesting to meet some of these amazing artistic personalities that do fall in our societal recognitions of how they should be completely askew. And yet in and of themselves, they simply had this burning flame of what they believed to be true, and it was born of compassion. None of the artists in their various obtuse politics ever meant them to hurt other people. It was always about finding a way to bring diverse people together or a better existence for all people at all time. Of course, you were going to have to take some from some to give some to the others and so forth. And of course, that's an anathema to today's thinking. But I mean, it's like I've said of horrifying periods in our past. It is very important in American history to, with impunity, horror, and will of annihilation, explore the sins of our past. And of course, the big one is slavery, if not genocide to the American Indian. But we must somehow leave the people that lived in that period for the responsibility they saw in their time, in the horizons of their possibilities. We need to somehow leave them alone, give them the respect, and certainly the judgment if necessary, but the respect that they were doing the best they could at the time that they lived. So absolutely recognize the obscenities of the age and leave the people that lived in it a little bit of slack. I thank God I didn't live in the 30s. Can you imagine the confusing everyday person just having a job and kids and education and the government's changing and some of it sounds pretty good and they know anybody living in the 30s as an adult knows that the treaty and the conditions put on Central Europe after World War I didn't make any sense and there's an antagonism and so forth. Anti-Semitism I cannot accept on any level any more than racism in our country at all. But I'm just saying that the person just trying to get along and all of a sudden we demand of them 65 years later a heightened political sensitivity that is perhaps more akin to our time than it certainly would have been in their time. And I think that we can build and understand and have more empathy for the various epochs from which we all come, thank you very much, if we would simply know the songs, the poetry, the music, the arts, the evidences of lives lived in those very troubling, contentious, contradictory, confusing times that had their own tragedies and epic upheavals. We are living in an epic upheaval today. Let's just get it out there and deal with it. How are we handling it? Where we're handling it? What aspects are nefarious and what aspects are legitimate? I don't know. And we have more information available at the push of a button than they ever had in the 30s or the 40s. And I don't trust half of what I listen to. I don't trust half of what I'm being told. Everybody feels manipulated to what the virus really means, where the virus is going to go, what's going to happen in 6 months, what could have, what should have happened 6 months ago. And we're all bathed in this world of information and digital awareness. And what are we all doing in our isolation? We're looking for something for our ears and our heart. So that we have a moment that we can embrace that says, I am me right now. I don't have to deal with any of this. I'm just me. That Beethoven symphony makes me feel alive. That piece of music, that song makes me feel not alone. And I think we just really need to focus on the power as we come back out of this, the power and necessity, the right place and placement of the arts and humanities and liberal education and collective thought of our society. And I think we have a good chance at it. We have to forget all the troubles of the business models. They're dead. They're going to be reinvented. There's going to be a lot of tragedy, a lot of pain, a lot of loss. But I'm more concerned that we come out that the arts are actually our bedrock and our blueprint, and not just a curious level of distraction and entertainment, as entertaining as they can be. All of these things is all bound up in an association of our artists and our poets. We are always in America, in every generation, very preoccupied, very busy with these big picture items. At the same time, and this is more than other artists in other countries, the very notion of being an artist, a poet, a composer in America. So this very lively dialogue of art as representation of existence is, I think, part and parcel to the great American story.